It's time for Backyard Almanac. Larry Weber is an educator, author, and naturalist, and he joins us every Friday for Backyard Almanac. Well, Larry, this is the last time we're checking in October, if you can believe it.
Yeah, isn't that amazing? We are down to the last week of October. The temperature, you look back at the month, and the temperature has been above normal again. It hasn't felt like it for some of these recent mornings. But yes, you take a look at the normal temperatures, and we've been considerably above normal. Normal for right now is a high temperature of 49, a low of 33. Well, we've been above those quite a bit. The last couple of days, however, we have been getting cooler, and we're getting to the last week now of October, and yes, it also could be cooler. It is not unusual by this time that we get some snow, and of course, nothing like that has happened, and we've got very little precipitation as well. It's interesting that since we last spoke, there was twice a forecast of rain, and neither of the two really amounted to anything. According to the Weather Service in Duluth, we have gotten only about a third of an inch of precipitation for this month. Add that to about another third of an inch for the whole month of September. Yeah, it's been quite dry. That could, of course, turn around, and forecasts are saying we may be still in for a possibility of some precipitation. A normal at this time in October is about 2.5 inches, and normal by this time of October, about 1.5 inches of snow. And those things haven't happened. The warmest temperature for the month so far was 75, and that was back on the 10th. And then on the 20th, we had a high of 74 just a few days ago. The lowest has been 26, and that was back on the 16th. And that was when I saw the first ice of the season, and I haven't seen any ice since then. Well, we'll see what it has to offer. Sunrise now is, of course, getting later all the time, about almost quarter till 8, and sunsets are around 6 o'clock. Now, getting into the month of November, a little bit over a week from now, we will be in the changing of our clocks. And what that means is sunset will be closer to 5 p.m., and sunrise will be closer to 6:45 rather than 7:45. So we'll have more light in the morning, but we pay the difference by having more darkness, early darkness later in the day. The moon phase right now is in the waning crescent. We had a beautiful apparition this week when we had a waning quarter moon right next to what looked like a bright star. If you took a look at it, as I did with binoculars, you could see it's the planet Jupiter, and you could see the moons of Jupiter. In addition to that, with a little searching this week, yes, I was able to see the comet. And yeah, it did take some searching, and it did take the proper amount of darkness, but I was able to find it twice this week. Auroras continue to happen, and I think we're going to see more of those. November is usually a very good month for seeing auroras, so we'll see what happens. The migration at Hawk Ridge has shifted a little bit. I always look for what is the most abundant of the different raptors that have been counted. And every day until yesterday, or day before perhaps, every day has been sharp-shinned hawk has been the most common. And then, thanks to the cooler temperatures and the winds from the north, we had a switch. And bald eagles and red-tailed hawks both have become more counted than the sharpshin. And as we go into November, that's going to continue. The other ones that are getting more numerous now are the rough-leg hawk and the golden eagles. Yeah, it's worth it to go at the Hawk Ridge at this time and see some of these later migrants. You won't see the numbers that you see, and you won't see the big flocks that we would see in September, but there's still plenty there. In addition to that, geese, swans, ducks, cormorants, pelicans have all been seen. I haven't seen all those, but I have seen a couple of them. Robins, bluebirds, various kinds of finches are coming across. Blackbird flocks sparrows flocks are coming across. This week I saw the first flock of tree sparrows. Tree sparrows sounds like they're named after living in trees. Well, they don't. They live in the far north beyond the limit of trees. And they come through here every year as a bit of a late migrant, but they usually don't stay. They continue going further south. Same way with flocks of juncos and longspurs. They're all passing through as well. Interesting time to see the migration of these birds. I also saw kinglets this week. And, yeah, that's another one that may stick around and maybe not. We'll see what Mother Nature has to offer for the next month or so. I've been watching an interesting situation came about. I was sitting down at the lake, and we have a pair of beavers that has decided to live there. And I was watching how they were going out and gathering twigs and bringing it back to their food cache, which they put out in the water not far from their den. And they will swim out then all winter. They'll swim out under the ice to get to this food cache. Well, they were gathering food for the cache for the winter, and I was noticing, yeah, here's a big rodent that's preparing for winter. Meanwhile, where I was sitting, I noticed some movement, and the movement turned out to be a chipmunk. And what was the chipmunk doing? It was running around with big bulging cheeks full of seeds and nuts that it had collected to bring to its cache, which is back in its den. And so we had two rodents here, both of which preparing for winter, and they're both caching. The beaver does not sleep through the winter. The chipmunk sleeps a lot through the winter. They don't sleep straight through. They're not a hibernator, but they do sleep a big amount. And then they'll wake up every so often, and they'll have a cache. They'll go to their cache and have a snack and then go back to sleep again. Rarely, if the days are mild, they'll come out of the den, but usually they don't. Usually we don't see them all winter. So we have two examples here of rodents who've been preparing for winter in their own way. In addition to that, thanks to the clear days we had this week, I saw plenty of insects. Some angle-wing butterflies. I've mentioned before about how Compton tortoise shells look for a little crack often in the siding of a house where they'll crawl into to spend the winter. Well, this week I also saw another angle-wing, a morning cloak butterfly, that was doing the same thing. Yellow sulfur butterflies are still out now, but they're not going to last. The same way with the meadowhawks, the little red or yellow dragonflies that are flying right now, they're not going to last, but they're still out there. In addition, you probably have noticed a few ladybugs. Ladybugs do not die in the winter. They hibernate. And right now, they're looking for a place they can go. An interesting walk to take is if the day is clear, go down and walk along Park Point and look for ladybugs that are on the logs that have been washed up along the beach there, because that's where they'll often spend the winter. And if the day is clear, they'll be sitting out on the logs basking, and then if it gets cold, they'll go under the logs. Another insect I noticed this week was a late season moth. Late season moths are interesting. Even though they fly at this time, I haven't seen many of them this season because our evenings have been too warm. They don't fly unless the temperatures are down in the 30s. And yes, it finally happened this week that I could see them. I refer to them as World Series moths because they come out at about that time. And yeah, the timing is very good. Among spiders, we don't see their webs much this time of year. There may be a few out there, but we don't see it much. What we do see, however, is the threads that they use for travel. I refer to them as travel threads. And you look outside on a clear day, and now that the leaves have fallen from the trees, you can look among the branches of trees as you look toward the sun, under the sun, never look at the sun, and you might see little threads. That tells us that the spiders have been out and been moving around. This is often called ballooning or kiting. They pull threads out of their spinnerets and then they let that get picked up in the breeze and carry them off. It's a very efficient way of traveling. The thing is, though, they don't really know where they're going. We still have plenty of color out there. In recent walks, I saw yellows of sugar maple. Big tooth aspen has just been amazing this week. We have quaking aspen and big tooth aspen here. Quaking aspen is much more common, and we never even think of or talk about the other one called the big tooth aspen. Well, right now, that's the one to see. If you see an aspen tree that's got a lot of yellow gold on it, it's a big tooth aspen, and you realize it's a lot more common than we might think. Poplar has also been interesting. The larger trees dropped their leaves quite a long time ago, but the young ones are still out there with big yellow leaves. Willows are yellow. Silver maple, which is another one we don't usually think of as being colorful, are yellow. And then we have a type of basswood. We have two kinds of basswoods here. We got the native basswood, which is pretty well all dropped its leaves by this time. And then in a lot of cities along the streets, there is another basswood. That's a European basswood that has been transplanted here. And yes, that does have a lot of yellow leaves. Among the reds, most of the trees that have red have pretty well passed on. I did see this week a cherry, a red oak, and red maple all still had some red. But the biggest red that I saw this week was from blackberry plants along the side of the roads. They're very big red leaves. So there is still, yeah, there's still color out there. The big leaf drop, though, probably has pretty much passed. It's not 100%, but it's pretty much passed. And it lasted about a week from the 16th to the 23rd. Lots of windy days and then some rain, not much, but some rain and more wind afterwards. And, yeah, a lot of them fell. The one thing that's been missing this fall has been mushrooms. And no, we haven't been finding them. It hasn't been dry. It has been dry. It's been too dry to find many mushrooms. However, if you go out and take a walk, which I highly recommend doing at this time, this is a time of year that I like to refer to as autwin. It's the time after the leaves have dropped and before the snow cover, and it's a beautiful time to get out and see the open woods. Well, if you get out and take a look right now, you may find fungi. Yeah, quite a lot of fungi, but you won't find mushrooms. What you'd find is the fungi that grows out from the sides of trees. That's still doing very well there. And you might find some things like puffballs as well. But no, the mushrooms, I just don't think had much of a time this year. Anyway, it's going to be interesting as we step now out of this month into another one. But let's enjoy. Take care.
Thanks very much, Larry. That is Larry Weber. Larry's an educator, author, and naturalist, and he joins us every Friday for Backyard Almanac.